Excellent. Good. Good morning. We're going to have a little a talk this morning about prayer. And we're going to find out what Jesus had to say about prayer. But before we do, I've asked Doug to help me with some prayers. So here's Doug. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Mr. Coleman.
He calls me Mr. Coleman because we go into school. Doug, what are you wearing on your head?
It's my prayer hat.
Your prayer hat?
Yeah, it's so that everyone can see that I'm praying.
Well, I'm not sure we all need to see when you're praying.
Yeah. So that everyone can see what I say and hear what I say, and then they can learn how to pray really, really well.
Doug, what makes you think that you can pray better than everyone else that you've got? There we are. Go and sit down. What makes you think that you can pray better than anybody else?
Well, because I've used a dictionary to get the words from my prayers.
A dictionary?
Yeah, and a thesaurus and Wikipedia.
Oh, Doug, I'm not sure that's entirely necessary. I mean, you don't use a dictionary when you're speaking to me, do you?
Mr. Coleman, you're not God. I'm not praying to you.
Yeah, but praying is speaking to God, isn't it? It's coming to God and talking to him. It's telling him what's on your mind.
Oh, what's on my mind? I want an Xbox and some Lego and a new bike and
Doug.
What?
No, what about other people?
Well, God can get them the next box as well if he wants.
No, I mean, what about praying good things for other people?
I don't understand.
Well, I mean, you know, praying for the things in the world that are wrong and for people who haven't got enough food every day, maybe praying for sick people or people that are going through a hard time.
Oh, I'm not sure I'd really thought about them.
Well, no, I'm not sure you had.
Well, I'll pray about them as well, but I still need my dictionary.
Why?
Well, to get some really, really good words in.
Doug, it's not about the words you use. It's about your heart. It's about your relationship with God.
Relationship? I don't understand that either.
Well, I tell you what, let's see what's on our sketchboard this morning. You have a listen from your box.
Okay.
And we'll have a little word with you later on. Now, I know I said that last time I was here and we didn't have a word with him, but we will have a word with him later on, okay?
Okay.
Right. Oh, sorry. Glad it makes adults laugh as well. Right. let me actually find the passage. It's from Matthew 6, our passage this morning. My Bible source is John 12, Matthew 6. Let's find an English version. Okay. Matthew 6, starting at verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. But when you do pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then, verse 9, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is a footnote for what happens at the end of the prayer. We'll get to that later. So, basically, Jesus was teaching his disciples. Anyone know how many disciples, best friends, Jesus had? Oh, somebody said it. Put your hand up and then say it louder. Yeah? 12. Okay, I've got 3 paintbrushes. So I do this in school. See, what I do in school is educational. We'll get to 12 in threes, okay? So 3, 6. 12, good. There we are. Anyone know how many? They've all got heads. So they've got 12 heads between them. Anybody know how many feet they've got between them? I suppose I'm in church. I don't have to wait for hands up, do I? Did somebody say it? Yeah? 24. There we are. And they came. Now, I remember to do this in English. This is the second time I've done this in English. I very almost put completely the wrong thing on the sketchboard when I was painting this up. So, you've got to read the yellow, not the black. So I'm painting the yellow letters with the black paintbrush. I think we've got teach there. Teach us. Two, good. There we are. So we think we've got it now, but I'll put it on the board anyway. There we are. Just about a why, I think, isn't it? There we are. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. So Jesus said, when you pray, say this, our Father in heaven. You see, God is our Father. We have a relationship with him. We can come to our Heavenly Father and we can talk to him. We can pray to him. Do you know, not every religion in the world has God as Father. God in other religions is someone who needs to be obeyed, who gives teachings and commands, but not somebody who we can come to and talk to and relate to. God is our Father, and that's amazing. So really, the prayer begins with our relationship, and that's really what carries through the whole prayer, is about our relationship with God. Our Father in heaven. God is somewhere where everything is perfect, where everything is good, where everything is right. And of course, we'll find out in a minute that God is King in heaven. Hallowed be your name. May your name be honored. Now, the Bible that I had in my teens was the Good News Bible, and that's what it said. May your holy name be honored. We want to honor God's name, and that's what we've been doing. Well, we've been singing. We've been singing praises. We want to honor God's name. We want to say, God, we love you. We think you're wonderful. And we want to sing to you. We want to praise you. We want to tell you how good you are. And we want to talk about all the good things you've done. So here we are. That's our second word. Yes. Well done, everyone. Is praise. So we're going to do a little bit of that now. We're going to do it in two halves. Okay, we're going to read some verses from Psalm 136, which are the first several verses, and then we're going to skip lots of verses, and then we're going to read some towards the end. But I'd like us to basically, it's a psalm where you've got a refrain, a chorus that runs all the way through it. His love endures forever. And when we've finished it, I'd like us to think of some of our own praises that we can just shout out. And the rest of us, so just one sentence, a few words, just something about God that excites you. Something about God that you think is really good. What things do we like about God? What's good about God? So he looks after us. Anything else? He loves us. So things like that. So if you can think of some really good things about God and things that God has done, so not big long prayers, but just simple sentences, simple phrases. But we're gonna say a psalm together first. So I'll say the phrases, and then we'll all say together his love endures forever. So you just have to say his love endures forever every time. Give thanks to the Lord God, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever. So let's think of our own phrases that we could just shout out. He cares for me. His love endures forever. 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 Amazing God. Your love endures forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well done. So our prayer starts with praise. It starts with honoring God's name. And then we get, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. We've said that God is king. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there's no crying, there's no mourning, there's no pain, there's no war, there's no nobody. Nobody argues in heaven. Nobody falls out with one another. Nobody sulks in heaven. Nobody gets sent to their room for doing something wrong in heaven. There's no bad in heaven. There's no untidiness in heaven. When you get to heaven, you won't have to tidy your bedroom. Isn't that good news? There's no untidiness. There's no wrong. There's no sin. Nobody's cut off from anyone. Everyone is together in heaven. And so what we're saying is, Lord, on earth, down here, in my life, in my family, in my school, in my workplace, in my home, in my community, in my world, in my country, in other countries, in the world you've placed me in, Lord, make it down here like it is in heaven. That's what we want to see. And that's what Jesus is encouraging us to come to our Heavenly Father to ask. Because God loves to give good things to his children. And he loves to help us. So we're saying, Lord, down here on earth, make it like it is in heaven. And forgive us. And give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. That's an odd thing to be asking God for. It's like, well, I don't need to ask God for bread. I can go down the shops and buy a loaf of bread. I'd pop to Tesco. But actually, what Jesus is saying really is, Lord, give us what we need. So what was anyone remember what Doug was asking for at the beginning there? Anyone remember what he was? Xbox? Bike? Did anyone say Lego? Yeah, Lego. So we're not going to ask God for Lego and bikes and Xboxes and anything. All the stuff that we fill our lives with. I was in a school recently, actually, and I said, you know, what could we ask God for? And one little girl put her hand up and say, stuff. But we're not to ask God for stuff. We're to ask God to meet our needs. And God will give us everything we need and more. God is a good God. He's not just, well, I'm going to give you bread. I'm going to give you bread and water today. And anything else you want, you're not going to have. God's not a mean God. But God, at the very least, at the very basic, will meet our needs. And he wants us to be part of asking him for that. Because, not because he doesn't know what we need, but because he wants to have that relationship with us. He wants us to go to him and say, Lord, this is what's on my mind and I want to share it with you. So give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins, our trespasses. And we said in the NIV version, our debts, the things we owe. We owe to God a big debt because he's come, he's given us everything we need. He's given us his son. We'll talk about that again in a minute. But we owe God a big debt. But actually, we like to be the rulers. We don't want to be the ones who are relying on someone else for controlling our lives. We want to be in control. We want to be king or queen of our lives. But the Bible says that God wants to be king of our lives. God wants to be in control because actually we're not very good at doing it. We're not very good at getting it right. Without God's help, without God leading us, without God guiding us, we mess up. We mess up. And I just realized that a massive part of this what we're doing this morning, I've missed out completely. So I'm going to stop there, and I'm just going to write on the board the one thing that we're going to do now. We're going to... I'm not very good at K's because Usually when I do this, I do it all in Welsh, and there is no K in Welsh, so I don't have to write the letter K very often. So I've not got to be very good at it. So there we are. Ask. He's asked us to ask. So I need a couple of helpers. Don't all rush at once. There we are, you can help me. Can you give some pens out for me? To anyone that needs them. Can you give some pens out for me? I need some people to give some papers out for me. If that's okay, you can do that. Okay, would you like to give some papers out? Okay. Anyone else want to give some papers out? Because we need to do it fairly quickly. Would you like to give those out for me? Just to anyone who hasn't got one. There we are. So, what we're going to do, we're not going to labour the point. We're not going to spend a long, long time on this. But you'll see on the piece of paper that you've got three circles. So leave me out for a minute. That's our daily bread. Oh, actually, no. We'll do all three. We'll do all three. It's fine. So I haven't got anything for you to lean on. So actually, your felt tips are going to be easier for you than biros this morning. What I want you to do is think of some things that you could pray for. Now, don't worry too much about the circles. The circles are just there really to help you to think about areas you might pray for. You might actually want to pray for God's church. You might want to pray for missionaries. You might want to pray for persecuted Christians. You might want to pray for people have been affected by the storms recently, or the earthquake. Things that you might want to pray for. And just write them or draw them. If your writing's not great, just draw a picture of them. Is there any more paper? No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. You know the things that we need, and yet you've asked us to bring those to you, to share them with you. You know the needs of everyone in the world, and yet you want us to be part of the solution to the problems. You want us to pray for your kingdom to come here, and that we do, Lord, this morning. You know everything on every piece of paper and everything in our minds as well that we would bring to you. And so, Lord, as we pray for those things, we pray that you would be working on them even now, bringing peace, bringing justice, bringing healing, bringing comfort, bringing good, bringing light and life to this world and meeting our needs, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. We offer it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful. So, that's ask. But there's the last part of the prayer, really, is forgive us our trespasses, our sins. Those are the things that, they are the things we do wrong and say wrong and think wrong. But actually, essentially what sin is saying no to God, is saying, no, I want to be in control. I want to do it my way. Let me do it my way because I know best. That's the essence of sin. But God says, no, you don't know the way to do it. I know best. And asking for God's forgiveness is about saying, no, Lord, I want you to be the king of my life again. Forgive me my sins. And of course, our God promises to do that. He promises to forgive our sins. He promises to forgive everyone who comes to Jesus to say, Lord, I'm fed up. I'm fed up of getting it wrong. I'm fed up of feeling bad inside. I'm fed up of this guilt. I'm fed up of just feeling awful in me. I want you to take control. I want you to forgive. And everyone that says that, God forgives because Jesus died to take the punishment for those things. And so because Jesus forgives, we can be forgiven. We can be made new. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Part of asking for God's forgiveness is all the things that we've done wrong. But it's also every time we've said, right, okay, well, Lord, you've forgiven me, but I'm not going to forgive anyone else. If they've done me wrong, I'm not going to forget. I'm going to get even. But actually, God says, no, that's not forgiven. I've forgiven you. You need to forgive them. Let someone sort the problem out. Fair enough. Sort the problem out, but move on. Move on together. Forgive one another. Even if they're not sorry for what they've done, forgive them anyway, because forgiveness eats away at us. It's not the other person that cares if they're not forgiven. We have to forgive them in our hearts so that we can move on. So, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass as sin against us. The things we do break God's heart. The things we do make God sad. The things we do make us sad. The things we do hurt us. They hurt God. And God wants to make us new. And that's why Jesus died. Jesus died so that we could be renewed. So that we could be, he could give us new life again. When we give him our lives, when we give him the mess that we've made, he takes the mess. He takes the mess and he puts us back together again. He makes us alive because of Jesus. And so that's good news for us this morning. That's good news that he forgives us so that we can be restored. We can have new life. Right, where's that dog? Okay, Doug.
Oh, Mr. Coleman, I've been really selfish. Forgive me.
I forgive you, Doug. But of course, you need to have forgiveness from God as well.
Oh, Mr. Coleman, I do want him to forgive me. But being good all the time is really, really, really hard.
Yeah, who finds being good all the time really, really, really hard? I think I do.
I do.
But it's okay because Jesus wants us to ask for help with that. Do you know, life can be a fight. Life can be a battle sometimes. But we're not fighting against other people. We're fighting against the devil, Satan, who wants to spoil it for us, who wants us to stop doing what God wants us to do, who wants us to be unforgiving, who wants us to live guilty, unforgiven lives. But God says when we ask for his help, he'll help us. Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep us out of trouble. Stop the devil from spoiling what God is building in us.
Oh, Mr. Coleman, I want to ask for that then.
Okay, well, we'll ask for that now. In fact, we'll say the whole prayer together. Now, some of the grown-ups are perhaps more likely to know the Lord's Prayer than some of the younger people. So, I'm going to put it on the screen for us. There we are. I put three versions in the PowerPoint. But we're going to say this one together, which is the one that most people know. So let's pray together. Let's be quiet. Do you know the Bible doesn't say we have to put our hands together. But that can stop us fiddling, stop us getting distracted. The Bible doesn't say we have to close our eyes. But that can stop us from looking around the room. So Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room. And just be quiet. So let's, if we can, let's be quiet and still now and pray together. If you know it, that's great. You'll be able to say it without the words. Otherwise, use the version on the screen. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Diane. Amen. Okay. So, I think it would be good to finish by singing something.